Greetings and welcome to the Traxión First Quarter 2018 Earnings Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question and answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Aby Lijtszain, CEO. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you, Diego. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. As usual, I will briefly comment on some relevant matters of the business, and then we'll hand over to Victor Bravo, our Chief Financial Officer, who will discuss financial and operating figures in detail. I am pleased to present you with the results of a very active quarter. We continue observing a healthy market for our service, and our sector fundamentals have not changed. We are very excited about what we see going forward. The company is facing growth appropriately. During the quarter, we released our guidance for 2018. We expect to end the year with an organic EBITDA of 1,640 million pesos, which represents a growth of 30% versus 2017. We are on track to achieve that goal, and we are confident that we will reach the 20% margin we committed to in our guidance. Considering three things. Number one, the seasonality of our business. Number two, the start of operations of the recently acquired fleet. And number three, the additional efforts toward cut-down expenses. We also released our fleet growth plan, which includes acquiring 1,342 new power units, an investment of roughly 2 billion pesos, which will be funded with the proceeds of the IPO. We have already invested almost 1.4 billion pesos since the offering, and fleet delivery started since the end of 2017 and will continue to 2018 as scheduled with the manufacturers. Lastly, we execute an agreement for a 4.5 billion new credit facility with a syndicate of local banks that will enhance significantly our financial structure, reducing our cost of debt and providing us with better terms and conditions. We'll repay our current long-term debt by using 2 billion pesos of that new facility and roughly 900 million of our cash. With that, we'll have up to 18 months to draw the rest of the 2.5 billion pesos balance of such facility as we see fit, without generating a negative carry on the cash sitting on our balance sheet, while generating further savings on the financing side. With this credit facility, we are executing the financial strategy we committed to when we were becoming a publicly traded company. On the M&A front, we continue working our pipeline and expect to announce good news in the near future. We are excited about executing our M&A strategy, as we are convinced that there is an enormous amount of value yet to be unleashed as we integrate leading successful companies into our platform, enabling us to complement our service offering and enhance our geographic footprint efficiently. We are currently conducting four due diligence processes in different stages. One of them has been completed, and we are preparing the closing process. That means that you will hear from us shortly. This is the first quarter that you will see all the subsidiaries integrated with fully comparable figures. This quarter, we grew our consolidated revenues 10.1%, reaching 1,859 million pesos, as a result of mainly capitalizing opportunities in the contracted personal and student transportation segments. Revenues of the contracted personal and student transportation segment grew 21.8% compared to the first quarter of 2017. This growth was fueled mainly by strong demand in the Bajío region, Mexico City's metropolitan area, and the north of the country. In terms of the cargo and logistics segment, growth has not yet materialized, but our performance is substantially on track with our budget. We observe that there is room for improving margins. In the next quarters, we'll focus on reducing expenses through the shared services center, capture synergies, avoid overlapping with our facilities, and increase sales with the recent expansion in fleet. Furthermore, there were four specific phenomena that affected the segment during the quarter. First, we began the process of start operating more than 130 trucks. With these new units, we are paving the way towards growth. We plan and including pre-operating costs and expenses that compress our margins. Second, we continue with our client optimization strategy, through which we allocate fleet to those clients and routes that better meet our profitability metrics. As part of our continuous improvement approach, the main goal of this approach is to maximize profitability, but with a slight temporary loss of volume. However, revenue per kilometer increased 4.5%, which shows that the strategy is proving successful. Third, there was a change in the American trucking regulation, which reduced the effective time that operators can drive in the U.S., increasing significantly the demand of trailers for freight within the U.S., which leads to scarcity in Mexico. This decreased our border transfer operating capabilities and affected our U.S. dollar-denominated revenues. We reacted by redistributing our trailers internally and by acquiring trailers in order to meet this increased demand. This is an industrial-related circumstance, and we expect it to normalize over the following quarters. And fourth, we have prepared the company for growth. We strengthened the corporate structure and set the foundations of shared services center, which should result, once fully implemented, in a decrease of expenses. We applied these years ago in LIPO, our personal and student transportation subsidiary, and have proven an enormous success. We are expanding this know-how to all Traxión, its subsidiaries, and subsequent integrations, and we are expected to start reflecting efficiencies in the coming quarters, especially in the expense side of the equation. This unique business model in the industry translates in a significant competitive advantage. We continue to focus on materializing efficiencies and synergies. We are currently working with two of our subsidiaries, MIN and Grupo CIR, as we have spotted areas where we can improve operations and generate further efficiencies. And then we'll continue looking for improvement areas across other subsidiaries. I have great news to tell you. The company began the process of start operating more than 500 units during the quarter. Approximately 74% on the personal and student transportation segment and 26% on cargo and logistics. We carefully planned this fleet expansion to meet demand. Traxión incurred in pre-operating costs and expenses. This had virtually no effect on revenues in this quarter. This is a part of our plan and was listed in our budgeting process. We expect this new unit to start contributing to the next quarter revenues. We are running within budget and satisfied with our performance, and I'll acknowledge that we need to improve top line, margins, and expenses in the cargo segment. In summary, Traxión started the process of operating more than 500 units, incurring several expenses to make that happen, and is in the process of capturing revenues from that organic expansion. That is how we plan the expansion, and it's a part of our growth strategy. The company is also beginning to capture synergies, which will translate in expenses efficiencies throughout the year. As you can see, we are very busy. We continue to do the right things to deliver results and to keep fulfilling our commitments. The company is within budget, and we reiterate our guidance for the year. Having said that, I will hand over the call to Victor. Victor, please.
Thank you, Ali. Good morning, everyone. Thank you again for joining. I will walk you through the financial and operating results for the first quarter of 2018. I would like to start by highlighting three relevant elements shaping our quarterly financial results. First, in terms of revenue, the company continued with its double-digit growth trend, mainly from opportunities in the personnel and student transportation segment. Second, in terms of CapEx, this is the quarter with the largest investment in equipment in the company's history, and we expect that soon we will have deployed all of the IPO proceeds destined for organic growth. During the quarter, as Ali mentioned, we started the process to get more than 500 new units into full operations, of which 26 are for the cargo and logistics segment and 74% are for the contracted personnel and student segment. These represent roughly 10% of our total fleet. Third, we reinforced in advance operational structures and a robust corporate structure to support growth. This had a strong impact on our SG&A, affecting in turn our EBITDA level and the margin during the quarter. While we expected this under our budget, we are taking actions to find and execute synergies, particularly in the cargo and logistics segment, to reduce this level of expenses. Moving to the financial results, total revenues reached 1,859 million pesos, an increase of 10.1% as compared to the first quarter of 2017. This growth was mainly driven by the performance of the contracted personnel and student transportation segment, which in turn grew 21.8%. Cargo and logistic revenues grew 2.5%, mostly from a 34% increase in the logistic revenues coming from new and existing clients. The growth in the segment was limited mainly due to the reasons mentioned previously. In addition, the appreciation of the exchange rate created a decrease of 14 million pesos in our dollar-denominated revenues. Regarding total cost, they totaled 1,330 million pesos, a 6.9% increase versus the first quarter of 2017. Most of the cost components remaining with the same level as a percentage of revenues, except for the decrease in fuel costs and increase in labor costs. In the first case, fuel prices increased close to 10% within the comparison period. This was offset by the application of the fuel tax incentive, which led to a net decrease of 5%. As for labor costs, it shows an 18.1% increase, mainly from a combination of regular salary increases, operational growth, and the hiring of personnel in advance of fleet acquisitions. Hiring in advance is a requirement, as personnel needs to be trained and, in general, get ready for new operations. The number of operators increased by 773, or 10.6%, as compared to the same quarter of last year. Costs related to commissioning of new equipment amounted to 13 million pesos during the quarter. General expenses reached 394 million pesos, representing a 43% increase versus the first quarter of 2017. The reinforcement of the operating structures and the expenses in advance for commissioning units took 77% of the increase, and the enhancement of the corporate structure represented 23% of the increase. The structures are very different between the quarters, and therefore are not comparable. For example, the corporate headquarters were developed along 2017 and now are now fully prepared to support the operating units for CapEx execution and centralize some functions to realize synergies. Regardless of the foregoing, we acknowledge that we need to be more efficient with SG&A and are in the process of taking action to rationalize it and to redimension the allocation between the two segments. We will start with our subsidiaries, MIM and Grupo SIG, of the cargo and logistics segment. EBITDA was 282 million pesos, 4.6% less as compared to the first quarter of 2017. EBITDA margin was 15.4% as compared to 17.5% of the same period of last year. Considering the adverse effect on the exchange rate appreciation, the EBITDA figures would have been roughly the same. This EBITDA level is within our budget. It is clear that we received the brunt of the expense, but not the full revenue. Looking into the next quarters, the additional headcount and equipment preparations for commissioning should translate into revenues as we move to meet our guidance. When considering the total cost of financing of 254 million pesos for the quarter, the Mexican peso appreciation during the quarter resulted in a foreign exchange loss of 136 million pesos, mainly derived from the substantial cash position that we held in U.S. dollars with part of the proceeds of the IPO to hedge the capex. This situation may not present forward since our cash balances will be reduced as we take advantage of the new loan facility signed to avoid a negative carry. The cost of financing also includes a 29 million pesos negative valuation of our interest rate swap. As for the cost of debt, and in line with the objectives of optimizing our capital structure and improving the amortization profile and cost of financing, in April we signed a new 5-year term loan of up to 4,500 million pesos. We will initially use 2,000 million pesos from this facility and 900 million pesos from our own resources to prepay the existing long-term loan. One of the advantages of this loan is that while we reduce the financing cost, we have committed available funds for the next 18 months to continue and complement our investment plan. Interest will be paid quarterly and will be a function of the debt-to-EBITDA ratio within a 200 to 315 basis point range. We expect to achieve a 143 basis points reduction compared to the actual loan. We expect to have the first disbursement by early May. Net income was a loss of 149 million pesos, generated mainly by the already mentioned exchange rate loss. Regarding capex, we paid 537 million pesos in the quarter. Of this expense, 96% was used for acquiring new equipment. In summary, this quarter results reflected the effort to invest in new equipment and get it ready to operate. The need to set up the platform for growth requires substantial expenses, which now we have the opportunity to reduce by centralizing functions and finding synergies across the company. We're starting with the cargo and logistics segment. The new unit center in operations and the profitability efforts in the cargo and logistics segment should add to the results in the coming quarters. We are in line with our budget and expect to meet our guidance. With this, I finish my remarks and will open the call for questions. Operator, please.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, to ask a question at this time, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. To remove yourself from the question queue, press star 2. Our first question comes from Rafael Buerla with Santander. Please state your question.
Good morning, Gaby and Victor. You've already given some explanation on the margin deterioration. Just have a couple of questions on that. Out of the 18% hike in labor costs, what was the average wage increase per driver? And therefore, will we see in the coming quarters now this cost line growing in line with revenues? And the second question, more on SG&A, the 43% increase. really how much was extraordinary and related to this change in the structure, in the corporate structure, in the new trucks coming in. When do you expect costs and expenses starting to grow in line with revenues and therefore recover the over 300 basis points margin deterioration that we saw? I mean, you already mentioned that you're confident in reaching guidance, but in do you think we'll see a big difference starting in second quarter, or does it take a lot of time for the new trucks to be working and generating the revenues? Thank you.
Thank you. Could you please repeat the first question, because I don't think I get it complete.
The first question is on the cost increase. Is the what was the average weight increase per driver? So how much is related to new drivers coming in which you're not seeing the revenues yet, and how much of the increase was related to a general weight increase per driver? Was that clear?
Okay, Rafael, I will first answer the second and third question, and then Victor will ask you the first question.
Okay.
Talking about the cutting expenses, they already began. We saw through this process that we're implementing synergies opportunities in MIM and CIL. So we are integrating the corporate structure of both companies on in the process of introducing the shared services center that we already have in place. So this cutting expense already began at the end of the first quarter. And we expect that they will take place in 3 months. This will give us a savings around 50 million pesos, talking about fully the full year. And when we finish this process with these two companies, we are going to continue introducing these efficiencies to the rest of the companies. And then talking about how long take for a new crop to generate the revenues and the EBITDA, once they are working, they normalize like a month after. It's not a long process. The important thing here is more the pre-operating expenses, because we have to hire operators, paint the trucks, put diesel and different things. So they could be ready to start working. Once they start working, they normalize very quickly. And then Victor will answer you the first question.
Thank you. Rafael, if I got it correctly, you want to know how much of the increase in labor cost was related to pure salary increases. The number is between 7 to 8%.
7 to 8.
Uh-huh. And the rest would come from additional hiring.
Okay. So in general, starting in the second quarter, we should see an improving trend in margins, because now these new trucks will be over a month of work, and also the recently hired workers will already be operating, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Stephen Trent with Citi. Please state your question.
Good morning, gentlemen, and thanks for taking my question. I actually just wanted to clarify one. I didn't understand. I didn't hear you so well. You mentioned something about U.S. regulation changing, which resulted in a lack of trailers in the Mexican market. Was that related to U.S. regulation allowing easier access of Mexican trailers to U.S. roads. I wasn't sure if I understood that correctly.
I will explain it again. In the U.S., there was a regulation that starts this January that they control the operators electronically, so they won't drive over 8 hours. So now that the U.S. government is control this amount of hours that the operators can drive, the offer of services in the states went down because they will usually used to drive over that time. So the American economy needed more trucks to move the same cargo that they were moving. So what the American companies did is to use the equipment that was assigned to the border, to the international transportation, so they can meet the demand into the U.S. So that's why changes the availability of trailers in the border, so we can do the change of the cargo, and that slowed the business in the border for us. So what we did is to reassign our trailers internally, to put more trailers in the border, so we won't have to wait till we get American trailers to cross the merchandise, and that's the way we're facing this this situation. Also, we are buying more trailers so we can meet the demand that we have in the border. So we see this as temporary because we are solving this situation by putting more trailers in border to work. So that's a change that we have since January.
Okay, very helpful. Appreciate that. And one other question. I think you'd mentioned maybe in the previous call a positive correlation between your margins and the Mexican peso's depreciation against the dollar. And I was wondering if I could ask you to just refresh my memory on that, on your view on that relationship.
Yeah. Since we have a percentage of revenues in dollar, when the dollar is more appreciate against peso, we receive more pesos for our services because we charge in dollars. And our expenses are in pesos. So when the dollar is stronger, we get more money for the service. And when it becomes weaker against peso, so we receive less pesos for the same service. So that's the correlation with the price exchange.
Okay, got it. I'll let someone else ask a question. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Lucas Barbosa with UBS. Please state your question.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my question. So my question is regarding the fuel fiscal incentive. I see that you had a fuel cost reduction despite the fuel price increase year over year. So I wanted to know if you can disclose the amount of the fuel fiscal incentive that you have had on this quarter, and if you believe that this is a level of incentive that will remain the next quarters or not. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lucas. Regarding the extra we credited against the fuel, it was in the range of 40 million pesos, and it was mostly in the passenger segment. We expect this to be the trend because as long as we are producing taxable income, we will be able to take the advantage of the tax incentive. And since the passenger segment is going fast and producing taxes, then we think it's going to be sustainable moving forward.
Okay, thank you very much. And the second question I have is regarding the fleet growth. Can you disclose the cargo fleet in the end of the quarter? just so we know how much you grew along the quarter?
Yeah, we received 130 crops in the first quarter.
Okay, very helpful. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you. Just a reminder, to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Mauricio Santos with GBM. Please state your question.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for the call. My question is following up on the SG&A increment. Seems to me that this preparative expenses are growing much faster than what the fleet is growing. Let's say the fleet, you're expecting the fleet to grow 20% this year. However, the pre-operating expenses, you grew more than 30% just in this quarter. So maybe if you could further elaborate on this. And the next one, it seems to me that you would need to grow sales by 40%, incremental 40% throughout the next three quarters in order to catch up this increment in fleet. So how comfortable do you feel with these reflections? Thank you.
Okay, Mauricio. The expenses grew because we built the shared services center. This shared services center is going to capture synergies because it's going to do the activities that the companies used to do in the past. The mainly administrative and other like sales and other things. So we grew because we built this, but now this first service center is cutting the expenses in the subsidiaries of Traccion. So as I mentioned, we began with NIM and Grupo C, and it's already in progress. And we expect to get a cut in the expenses because of the synergies that the shared services center is implementing. And talking about the growth, what we're seeing now is only expenses, the pre-operating expenses, without seeing the revenues of these stocks. So once these trucks and buses begin to generate revenues, the EBITDA will grow because now we only have the expenses. So when we get revenues, these revenues will absorb these expenses, the operating expenses, and that transforms into EBITDA. So the jump in the EBITDA is high because of this. Was clear the answer, Mauricio?
The only thing is, Avi, that let's say in order for us to see the catch up, you need, let's say, how easy is to place this incremental demand. So let's say this quarter you managed to grow 10%. In order to let's say to fully absorb the incremental trucks. My numbers, back on the envelope numbers, give me a figure that you would need to grow 25% revenues in the next three quarters. So, it's easy for the trucks to mature. However, I don't know if you already have, let's say, the clients in order to absorb that amount of service. That's where I was heading.
Yeah. The guidance that we give is that we are going to have 8,000 or 8 billion pesos for sales this year. So this quarter, they were around 1,900 million pesos. So they are going to be growing each quarter. At the end of the year, the quarter will be over the 2 billion pesos. So okay. when you make the average of the quarters, we're going to get around 8 billion pesos in sales.
Okay. And let's say I know you're targeting or a few acquisitions. Would you say that does the current truck, let's say the current fleet, let's say you're growing fleet by 20%, do you think that this fleet would complement any acquisitions we see down the road, or it's independent? It's just barely organic.
The growth that we are projecting now, that it's organic growth, and it doesn't consider the acquisitions.
Okay.
When we close on acquisitions, they have a pipeline, a commercial pipeline. These acquisitions are going to also bring some growth, but we are not considering this in the figures that we give it to you.
Okay. But let's say can you get to use, let's say, this incremental, this with these 1,000 incremental buses, can you use them, for doing business with any of the acquisitions that might come in the next few months? Are you planning?
It might be possible that we could capture some synergies. But all the organic growth that we are projecting, they already have their own clients. So these 12 buses that we are buying during the year, they will have a contract through the subsidiary that we have right now in Traction.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Understood. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no questions, no further questions at this time. I will now turn it back to management for closing remarks. Thank you.
Okay, just to end the call, I want to remind you, Traxión has a proven business model, strong balance sheet, and a very seasoned and committed management team. We have this and several other competitive advantages that translate in undisputable leadership. Thank you all for your confidence and trust. Have an excellent day.